This is FM 100.5 and 101.9, AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS action line continues a search for truth.
I know you're out there
Good morning to you. Welcome in on this chilly morning. Mitchell Motors with us from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. And even though it is barely above 30 degrees outside, we're going to talk about lawns and gardens. Before you know it, spring will be here.
It's on the way.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
Now, of course, it hadn't been really a very rough winter.
No, I mean, today feels more or less seasonal, I guess.
That's right. Yeah. Well, what kind of calls have you been getting at the Ag Center?
Oh, we've had probably the most common one that I have fielded is had to do is it too early to say fertilize your turf grass? Mm-hmm. I guess that's probably been the most common one. I have seen a few insect issues. This as mild as some days have been. I've seen some active cool season spider mite infestations on some shrubbery.
Really?
Yeah, some spruce spider mites have been active. I've seen a couple of cases of those. But as I said, probably the most common question has had to do with is it too early to fertilize turf grasses? And yeah, probably it is, simply because the grass in most cases really is not growing, especially if it's a warm season grass. Bermuda grass, zoysia grass, those things are not growing at all. They're totally dormant. The fescue or the cool season grasses, tall fescue and fescue bluegrass blends, tall fescue and fine fescue and so on, those are not growing a great deal. It's probably a little bit early yet to put that fertilizer out, and a little early yet, I think, for the pre-emerge control for crabgrass.
Now, as you drive around, sometimes you pass people's yards that are just beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I pass one every day. That is a gorgeous green. It's green right now and looks like a golf course. I mean, it is phenomenal looking.
Yeah.
I can go by that on the hottest day in the summer. And it's the same way. Gorgeous green, phenomenal looking. I know it's not a carpet. What are they doing? I, other than a lot of work, because I see them out there working all the time.
Well, I believe that's the key, Bart, is a lot of work. And if,
but, I mean, is it cool season? Is it warm
season?
Well,
if it's green today, then yes, they do have cool season grass there. Now, could it be that they are maintaining a warm season base and then overseeding it with a cool season grass for the winter months while the warm season base is dormant? Yes, that's very, very possible. A number of people will do that. They'll take advantage of the heat and the drought performance, not necessarily the drought performance, but the heat performance of the warm season grasses, such as Bermuda grass, and will have just an excellent turf during the hotter months. And then before that grass goes dormant at frost, they will interseed that or overseed that with a high-quality cool season grass, such as the turf-type perennial ryegrasses, which would have just a truly excellent color.
Mm-hmm.
This time of year, if you pay attention to football games in the fall of the year, they're played on fields that like the southern fields, for instance, University of Tennessee's field is it's a Bermudagrass Tifway 419 Bermudagrass field is the primary playing surface. But you know, when they play those later games towards the end of the season in November, the field is just as green then as it would be say in June. And certainly the Bermudagrass is dormant then. But the thing is, they begin overseeding that with perennial ryegrass probably in August or early September. And that's the way the majority of those athletic fields are done that have that kind of a primary grass like the Bermudagrass, but they're going to have cool season play on. And someone could do that in their lawn as well. Now, the other possibility is that they do maintain strictly a cool season grass there. And they will They have an irrigation system where they're able to provide that grass during the heated, the hottest time of the year, during those high heat months, with adequate moisture to help keep that grass from going into a totally dormant state and showing the effects of the drought and the heat. And it's not just drought. I mean, all grasses are going to suffer in dry weather. Because they all have a water requirement. Even the warm season grasses, you know, they can survive it, but it's a difference between surviving and performance. Mm-hmm. So if they don't have the water, obviously they will not perform. But the warm season grasses, by definition, by name, they thrive in the heat. So that's the difference between the warm season and the cool season grasses.
And they do have the water system, because I watched it. They put in a well.
Yeah, that's, and you know, that it takes a lot of water. So I would suspect that that probably they're maintaining the cool season turf with the aid of a good irrigation system.
It really looks good too.
Water makes a lot of difference.
Now, it really makes I noticed difference. Their water, as is a lot of well water, is
sulfur. Water, yeah.
Does that do well for gardens and grass?
Well, boy,
obviously
from
it
your
does.
Description, it looks good there. Sulfur is it's an essential nutrient. You know,
that's what
need.
I was thinking.
Yeah, it's one of the essential nutrients, and actually, sulfur, I guess, kind of lends itself. It's somewhat of a greening agent. You'll see it in fertilizers that. You know, promote greenness. Anything that's got nitrogen, it will promote greenness. But iron is a green promoter. Chlorine kind of promotes greenness a little bit.
So this would make it even more green.
It might enhance it a little bit. I mean, it can only be so green anyway. It only has potential to be so green. But it would certainly not take away from it. Now, is it possible to get too much in the ground? Yeah, it is. But it would take an awful lot to be too much.
It's hard to have too much of a good thing.
It's hard to have too much water.
Yeah.
But you can, but it's hard to have too much water in July.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen very often around here.
Okay. So there is one of the issues you've faced on the phone this past week. The other one was insects. People are concerned, I guess, that the mild weather didn't get rid of the insects.
Not so much they're concerned about it. They just have a plant that's not performing well. And saw this on samples that were brought to the office. And, you know, just going off color, instead of the green color that you would expect to see in a shrub like that, I believe, I think it was on a euonymus plant, if I'm not mistaken, Manhattan euonymus shrub, which is a broadleaf evergreen kind of shrub. And it was a solid green. It was not a variegated variety. Instead of the nice uniform green color that you would expect to see or want to see in the foliage, there was some yellowing, although that's really not the best way to describe it. I guess more of a bronzing of the tissue. And, well, you know, that's not really natural. So you start looking at it, and it had an infestation of spider mites. And that's a kind of a typical symptom that spider mites will cause, is that bronzing as they remove chlorophyll, as they feed on the fluids in the cells and remove that, and it takes chlorophyll out, so you start to have that going off color, that bronzing look to it.
Alrighty. By the way, if you have any questions dealing with lawns and gardens, our number here at the radio station is 893-1450. Mitchell Moats with us from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. And if you have some plants or something that look as if they're not doing real well, you might want to drop them by the Ag Center and get someone to look at it and give you some suggestions. We're going to pause for just a moment. We'll be back, and we'll continue the conversation about lawns and gardens right here on WGNS.
You're like an angel.
GNS in our call stands for Good Neighbor Station. That's been our objective since 1947. Good Neighbor Talk on WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Ford of Murfreesboro is home to the 2012 Motor Trend Truck of the Year. It's the Ford F-150, now in stock at Ford of Murfreesboro. Need something bigger? Check out their Super Duty line of trucks. They've got over 50 to choose from right now at Ford of Murfreesboro. Plus, they have over 50 Ford Escapes and over 50 Ford Mustangs in stock at Ford of Murfreesboro. Online at fordofmurfreesboro.com, Ford of Murfreesboro, on Broad at Northfield.
Bell Jewelers on Broad Street has a Valentine special that will be hard to resist. If you spend $99 or more, you'll get a gift certificate for dinner for you and your Valentine, a gift certificate for flowers, and a box of chocolates. Take advantage of the Valentine special today at Bell Jewelers on Broad across from Toots. Nothing sparkles like a Bell Jewelers diamond, especially on Valentine's Day.
Good morning. Still a bit of congestion this morning on I-24 as you make your way into the junction there with I-40 westbound. We've also got some slowdown from a disabled vehicle earlier around the Hickory Hollow Parkway exit. That is in the clearing stages. Should be out of the way in the next few minutes. Also clearing around I-24 at 96 and I-24 at 231. Nashville Flight Training to turn your dream of flying into a reality. Call Nashville Flight Training at 366-9192 or just go online to nashvilleflighttraining.com. I'm Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
Thank you, Randy.
It's 6 a.m. I feel so far from where I've been. I got my eggs, I got my pancakes too. I got my maple syrup, everything but you. I break the yolks and make a smiley face.
Hey, welcome back. Having fun on a Thursday morning. This is the 9th of February. A cool Thursday morning. About 30-something degrees, just barely over 30, 31, I think it is. Mitchell Motes with us from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. If you have a lawn or garden question, call us, 893-1450, 893-1450. One of the items in our news this morning was the fact that you're going to be accepting those special cards at the farmer's market when it opens this year, which is great.
It's when it opens, I think, on May the 11th, mm-hmm. I believe, is the date. They will be set up to accept electronic benefit transfer cards for food purchases, EBT. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, a convenience.
Very good.
Yeah.
And will you be open every Tuesday and Friday as always? Or
to my knowledge, the schedule is, as far as days of the week, will be as in previous years.
Okay. May 11th is when it opens, so
I believe that's right.
Circle that on your calendar. That'll be here before we know it.
Well, it'll be here quick. I mean, today's the 9th of February. Gosh, it's not, doesn't like a whole lot being halfway through February.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's already.
Of course, this is a bigger February. I mean, we've got
a whole 24 more hours in this February than the one we had last year.
Now, leap year, what is that? The girls can ask the guys to marry them on leap year? Is that what that is?
Well, I don't know.
How
that's
does
a
that work?
Side, Bart, I don't know. Say, you know, does that have anything to do with Sadie Hawkins?
Yeah.
You know, the
Sadie
Hawkins
Sadie
deal.
Was a,
yeah, she was.
Now, is she from Bellbuckle or was
it? I thought it was Dog Patch.
Oh, okay.
Dog Patch. Maybe. But, you know, they used to have the Sadie Hawkins deals where the kind of roles reversed. The girls would pursue the boys, mm-hmm. Et cetera, things like that. I don't know that there's any particular etiquette rules for leap year that don't apply during the rest of the year.
Okay. Well,
or the other year.
Any gardening rules? I mean, you got a whole extra day there.
You do. And so that means that if February is a planting date for a given crop, then you've got an extra day to get it in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so that you don't have others. But, you know, we're in the middle of planting season right now, cool season planting season. For things like most of your greens, you know, your leafy greens, lettuce and spinach, cabbages, kale, stuff like that, snap peas, English peas, onions, you know, if you can get them in the ground, if you can work the ground up, now's a good time to put them in the ground because a lot of those planting dates begin, you know, the 1st of February. Of course, obviously, the soil doesn't read the they don't look at the calendar so much, but you know, that's traditionally, that's a kind of a decent time to start that, because those are cool crops and they will tolerate and grow better in those cooler temperatures and just thrive more. So if especially if you have raised beds, you can tend, those tend to dry out faster because of the their elevation, and gravity helps pull that water down through them a little quicker. And you know, it's a good time to put those things out in the ground now.
So if you had a raised bed, it would be doing probably better now than one that's
in the ground. It would warm up faster because it does drain more. So a drier soil is a warmer soil than wet soil is. They tend to warm up faster. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it is a raised bed, then you know, gravity works in your favor. It helps to pull the water down. But so the taller something is, the way gravity tends to work on it a little bit better, I guess.
Now, if you were going to put in a raised bed, and a lot of people are doing that.
They do, yeah.
And this is a good time, obviously, to do it. Where would you get the dirt? I mean, would you want to go out and dig up the clay and everything that you have in your yard, or would you?
It's kind of a good thing about a raised bed is the fact that you can, the fact of a bed, period, is that you can modify or have better success of modifying the soil environment there. You can really amend small sections of soil to a greater extent than you can amend large sections. So by putting in a bed like that, now, you may use some native soil. Obviously, mm-hmm. you will. And you know, it, for instance, if you've got growing carrots, let's just use that as an example, that can root 12 inches deep. Well, you've got an 8-inch deep bed. Well, obviously, then you're going to have some root extending into the native soil, and you would mm-hmm. expect that. But the primary growing zone up there is what you can really influence a lot. You can buy soil. You know, you buy sifted or modified topsoil, soil that has been, you know, native soil. It's been dug from the ground. It's been processed to a certain extent. It's been screened to take out debris, you know, fragments of rock and root, et cetera, things like that, and then possibly had maybe some soil amendments mixed in it as it goes through that screening and mixing process, like compost or whatnot. And in a process like that, it can be a much more even, a more thorough mixture than maybe we're able to do by ourselves, or you know, in home setting, we're doing it ourselves, although you can certainly be successful doing it yourself. It could be that you just buy soil, or you go to a location, maybe, you know, there's a dirt pile somewhere on the place there, and you're going to maybe you're going to build a patio, or put in a sidewalk, or put in a driveway, or whatever. All right, it could be that you can take some of that soil from the excavation for that, mm-hmm. and then mix with it soil amendments such as good composted material, even maybe a little bit of sand, something like that. Just organic material and things that such as sand and that will help make loosen that clay up, you know, help it not bind so tightly together, just to make a better growing environment for it.
Now, tell me if this is a wives' tale. I had always heard that if you had really dark soil, that was probably the best to grow things in. And I've gone to areas like Texas. You drive through Texas and you look out where they have huge farms. That soil is almost black out there. You can go up to Nebraska, the Dakotas, that area where there are a lot of big farms. That soil there is black too, as opposed to the reddish brownish look that we have around here. So is there anything to that? And the reason I'm asking that, if you're going to be able to put the soil in your raised bed garden, mm-hmm. looks like you'd want the best you could get. I mean, if you can get some of that soil from Texas or Nebraska or wherever it might be coming from, is there anything to that?
Well, you talk about dark color, and you know, you're referring, I guess, to black color. Mm-hmm. Versus right. dark red,
naturally,
light red.
Naturally, as opposed to somebody, some company putting in a black dye.
Yeah, that's an indication of some indication of organic matter. Now, it's going to be influenced a lot by how it was formed, you know, the parent material that it came from. And in different parts of the country, you figure over the, let me finish the statement. In different parts of the country, it's formed under different conditions out of different parent material, then it will have, you know, different color. For instance, you think about the plain states. Well, you think of prairies. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, they have just years and years and years of forming and building a profile under grass. and they would have a ton of organic matter in there. All, you think about all those grass roots that have been there for years after years after years that continually slough off, old ones do and new ones grow, and so this is being incorporated in that profile. So there's a difference in that soil versus soil, say, here in Eagleville. All right. Now, a soil can only maintain so much organic matter anyway. You know, for us, if we had a 5% organic matter soil, we're not going to be able to maintain much more than that year round, simply because the microbes or the organisms in the ground are going to, that's what they eat. You know, and if they're going to have a high population, they've got to have something to eat, so they eat the organic matter. And unless we replenish that organic matter as time progresses, then we deplete that supply. And we have a high degradation or a high use rate of the organic matter because we have a warm, humid climate, you know, for the most part. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of activity year-round as compared to some places where there may not be as much. But, you know, we have very productive soils here in Tennessee. You think about places where you can have 200 bushels plus corn production per acre. Well, you can get that in Rutherford County.
So then you're saying just go over to the co-op and get some good soil.
Well, go to the co-op, go wherever. All soil can be improved to an extent. Mm-hmm. And the best way to do that is to the addition of the organic matter and whatnot. It's like hauling water. Is it feasible to haul liquids long distances? Well, no, it's not. So would it pay for you to haul water from, the spring at Jack Daniels in Lynchburg because you want that good spring water? Boy, it'd be expensive. You know, it costs a lot. Liquid weighs a lot, so it costs a lot to move it. I don't know that it's even feasible to think about hauling soil from Texas or Oklahoma or Mississippi or anywhere here. You can, this ground will certainly grow things, and we can, now a lot of cases we can improve it. Do we have clay in the ground? Absolutely. If we didn't, it'd fall apart. Now, do we sometimes have more than we'd like to have? Well, absolutely we do. But again, that can be mitigated to an extent by the addition of organic matter. And doing it in small spaces is a lot more feasible than trying to do it over a great big space.
And then the raised garden makes it a whole lot easier.
Well, yeah, because you've got to find space there. Yeah. And you're not, in that, you don't have middles and whatnot that you're going to be trafficking in and so on. You don't have traffic in the raised beds, so you don't compact the ground as readily because you're not walking on it. You know, you build them small enough that you can work it from the sides. You don't have to get up in the bed to do anything to it. So raised beds make sense.
Okay, now do you have a raised bed garden? If you do, tell us about it.
A lot of people are doing that.
Yeah, I'd like to hear from you. 893-1450 is our number. 893-1450. If you have a raised bed garden, tell us about your successes. Also, maybe some of the pitfalls that you experienced in the beginning, so we can avoid those, okay? 893-1450, we're going to check on the weather. We'll be right back. Mitchell Moats with us from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service.
Get your Good Neighbor events to us in writing 2 weeks before they occur. We'll put them on the radio and the internet. WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Southeastern Tire of Murfreesboro has the right tires for your vehicle. Perhaps you're a rugged individual who enjoys off-roading. They have a tire for you. Or maybe you're a rap star driving around on 26-inch rims. They have a tire for that. You're a mom who's in the carpool lane daily. They have a tire for your minivan. Let's say you're a wealthy trial lawyer who drives a Lamborghini. Yes, they have a tire for you too. Maybe you drive one of those new electric vehicles. Hey, they have a tire for you. Southeastern Tire Service has a tire for every personality. They're on Broad Street, a tire or two away from Chevy of Murfreesboro.
Family Staffing Solutions.
I had a very serious accident. I had Family Staffing come to me, and they have reached out. They have touched me in every way that they possibly could touch my heart.
Family Staffing Solutions. Personal care assistance at its best.
It's an opportunity for all of us to enjoy the aging process.
That's Becky Buchner with Family Staffing Solutions. 143 Uptown Square, 848-6774. Online at familystaffing.com.
Play it again, sports! 25 to 50% off. A new shipment of scratch and dent fitness equipment is in at Played Again Sports on North Thompson Lane. Exercise bikes, ellipticals, treadmills, and more. 25 to 50% off. Save now before the deals are gone.
WGNS Time Saver Traffic.
Good morning. Still a bit of congestion this morning on I-24 as you make your way into the junction there with I-40 westbound. We've also got some slowdown from a disabled vehicle earlier around the Hickory Hollow Parkway exit. That is in the clearing stages. Should be out of the way in the next few minutes. Also clearing around I-24 at 96 and I-24 at 231. National Flight Training can turn your dream of flying into a reality. Call National Flight Training at 366-9192 or just go online to nationalflighttraining.com. I'm Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
Thank you, Randy. What about that Murfreesboro weather brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro?
We'll have plenty of sunshine across the forecast area. Our high temperatures will be in the mid-40s with a north wind around 5. Partly cloudy skies for tonight, 30 degrees for your low. I'm WGNS meteorologist Andy Fellhuber. Right now, 34.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We offer checking that comes with a free check card, free mobile and internet banking, as well as free bill payer service. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
WGNS talks about all things local. It's Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett. Weekday afternoons at 3 on Rutherford County's Place to Talk. WGNS AM FM.
I'd look down forever if you were lighter than a feather. Oh, and if I set you free, would you go with me?
We're back again, 893-1450, talking about lawns and gardens, and in particular, raised bed gardens. We're in the middle, as Mitchell had said, of the time of the year that you can put out those cool season gardens. And you'll have even more success with a raised bed garden. And have you had success with a raised bed garden? That's our question. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Mitchell Moat. How are you today?
Good and fine, thank you.
Good.
I have a comment on your different kinds of clay.
Okay.
There is a black clay, and that's just as tough to work up as this red clay that we have here.
Ah, okay.
Now, I also have another question.
All righty.
I'm bothered with wintertime weeds, and I want to know when's a good time to kill them before they make seed, because they make seed like mad.
That's a good question.
Okay. Where are these growing?
Where are they growing?
I didn't hear you.
Where are the weeds growing?
In the lawn.
Okay. Anytime that they're growing in a lawn like that, before they make seed is the time you want to do it. Now, those seed, they're winter annuals, or those weeds are winter annuals, and they germinated last year, back in the fall of the year, is when they began to germinate. So,
Hold it just 1 minute, Mitchell.
Okay.
Wait till I hang up and listen on the radio. I'm not getting good reception on the phone.
Okay.
Okay. All righty. So he's having this weed problem,
yeah.
Winter weed.
It has winter annual weeds. That's what he has out there right now. For the most part, that's what you see. And, gosh, there are a world of them. You know, you've got chickweed and henbit and dead nettle and hairy bittercress and cranesbill or Carolina geranium. You have some perennials that are out there, too. Star Bethlehem there. There's the wild garlic is out there. Buckhorn plantain, those are growing out there right now. Those are perennials. But The annuals, the winter annuals, they germinated or began to germinate in the fall of 2011, the ones that we have out there right now. So anytime those weeds are actively growing and you have somewhat decent weather conditions, you can treat those with a herbicide to give decent control. Mm-hmm. Now, his goal was to do it before they started making seed. Now, some of those are already making seed. For instance, hairy bittercress right now. It is blooming, has a white flower, and it's making little seed pods. They're not mature yet in most cases, but they are making those seed. So you want to go ahead and do something about it. Today, right now, what is it, 32 degrees, 33 degrees, yeah. Something like that. That's a little bit cool. you like to have a milder temperature before you make an application. Now, ideally, you would like for the temperatures to be, you know, at least in the 50s and in sunshine. And you like to have 2 or 3 days of weather like that so that the weeds will be growing. And it's an actively growing weed takes the herbicide in much better. Now, in the last few years, there have been some changes in some of the weed control products that have given them better cool weather protection or cool weather activity. And, you know, I'm going to use an example here. A very common herbicide for broadleaf weeds that kills a lot of different weeds is one that's called Trimec. Okay, and it's called Trimec, because it has three ingredients in it. It has 2,4-D, it has MCPP, or Mecaprop, and it has another one called Dicamba. That's a very good combination on a lot of different broadleaf weeds. But it needs to be warmer, you know, at least in the 60s, when you use that to give the best results. Now, they have... companies have added another ingredient to that, a fourth ingredient, which improves the cold weather activity. So instead of it needing to be, you know, 60 degrees, you can have efficacy down to 50 degrees. In some cases, if it's bright sunny weather, even in the upper 40s, I've seen you have control benefits. And that additional product is an ingredient called carfentrazone. Boy, that's a great big word, carfentrazone. You add that in there with 2,4-D, dicamba, and Mecaprop or MCPP. But you don't have to remember that. You know, think about names such as... And there are a lot of brands, and I can't name them all. I don't know them all. But the ones that I can think of include Speed Zone. Okay? Mm-hmm. Well, it has carfentrazone added to it. Better cool weather activity. Power Zone. That's another one. Weed Free Zone. That's another one. The co-op brand, Bonide Weed Beater Ultra. That's not a co-op brand. They sell that one there. Bonide Weed Beater Ultra. That's another cold weather product that has the carfentrazone added to it. And, you know, that's the key is you're looking for that combination of the traditional broadleaf weed killers, things like 2,4-D, dicamba, MCPP, MCPA, with carfentrazone added to it. And if our forecast says that it's going to be sunny and we're going to be in the 50s for 2 or 3 days, mm-hmm. boy, that's when you're going to see the best results out of doing that. So, you know, depending on the weather, this earlier this week would have been a fine time to do it. You know, last week would have been a fine time to do it. Today's maybe not the best. And the forecast is not going to be forecast for Saturday is 36, 37 degrees,
In fact, Mandy, our morning meteorologist, had just slipped me some information here. Partly sunny today, high in the mid-40s.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, showers with the high in the low 50s. And let's see, she says Saturday, breezy with the high Saturday, 40-something degrees. Mm. It's going to be cold.
It's going to be cool. And then better chance of rain the early part of this week, I guess.
And right now, even though it's come up a bit, it's 36 right now, she says that really translates a wind chill of 29. So it's cold.
It's chilly outside. It is. So today's not a good day for it, and the forecast for the next 5 or 6 days doesn't look all that good either. But if you can get 50-degree temps for, let's say, 2 to 3 consecutive days without rainfall forecast, that's when you want to do it. And keep in mind, you know, of course, we can't do anything about what happened last fall now. But keep in mind, if you had a winter weed issue this year, well, odds are you will again next year in that same location because there'll be enough seed in the ground for those to come back. You know, remember that. Remember where they were and start looking for them in September and October. And when they're very young and tiny, it doesn't take a lot to kill those young weeds. And you can control a lot of them before they ever get to be an issue at all.
Huh. Okay. So now, let's see. The groundhog saw his shadow, went back in to the hole, and that means, what, 6 more weeks of winter.
The way I've heard it explained is that if the groundhog sees a shadow, so he'll go back into his hole because it frightens him.
Yeah.
And so he's going to come back out in 6 more weeks. Now, if he doesn't see a shadow, then that means you've got about another month and a half before spring. Now, the way I look at it, a month and a half, that's about 6 weeks. So either way,
he saw his We're going to have 6 more weeks of winter. Mm-hmm. So that's.
But if he doesn't see it, then you've only got another month and a half.
Mid March.
Mm-hmm.
Before really.
But now, does it count though? Buxatony Field. They pull him from his burrow and hold him up, and then
I think
put
this was Rutherford Ralph.
Okay. Is he more of a natural?
Yeah, he's a natural.
Okay. I'm betting
in last Kansas.
I'm betting that sometime in March, spring will get here.
You think so?
Officially,
okay.
It will. So. When it gets here, as far as the weather is concerned, ask me next year, and I'll be able to tell you more about what this spring was like.
You're not using 100% Rutherford Ralph or the Woolly Worms or any of those?
No.
No. Okay. No. 893-1450. I tell you what, let's do when we come back from this break. Let's touch a bit on the calendars that a lot of people use to plant with. The heart, what are they?
Oh, you're talking about the signs of the zodiac.
Yeah. Because I know the Farmer's Almanac.
I'm not much of an authority on that.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe somebody.
Yeah,
is.
Maybe.
Because I've had somebody say, well, it's a full moon, you shouldn't be planting.
Or, just if you want to plant by the signs, get a zodiac calendar.
Yeah.
And do it that way.
We'll be right back.
I got a basket full of lemons and they all taste the same. A window and a pigeon with a broken wing. You can spend your whole life working for something just to have it taken away.
Good Neighbor Talk covers issues you won't hear anywhere else. They're local issues, and we're locally owned, locally operated. We're WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Heritage South Community Credit Union now has a new home, 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire.
This is Darlene Robinson, branch manager. I invite you to visit us soon and find out what your community's credit union is all about. We offer free debit cards and great checking, plus exceptional rates on loans and savings. You can join if you live, work, worship, or attend school in Rutherford, Bedford, or Marshall County.
Heritage South Community Credit Union, new offices at 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire. Federally insured by the NCUA.
Hi, this is Tina Fox at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op. Come see us for all those wonderful gift ideas, from our gift department to clothing. We have a hunting section.
We've really upped our selection of ammo and got really good prices on them.
That's the Rutherford Farmers Co-op Farm and Home Center. And also for your furry friends in our pet and bird section. So come visit us at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op. We're located just off of South Church at 985 Middle Tennessee Boulevard. That's the Rutherford Farmers Co-op Farm and Home Center.
Weather Eye.
We'll have plenty of sunshine across the forecast area. Our high temperatures will be in the mid-40s with a north wind around 5. Partly cloudy skies for tonight, 30 degrees for your low. I'm WGNS meteorologist Mandy Felluber. Right now, 34.
People ask me, how does Perry Bell sell first quality name brand furniture about half price every day at Bell Furniture? He's learned that if you buy in trailer truckload quantities, you save money. And then instead of making the displays look like a decorator magazine, he puts it all in one big room. That saves money too. Plus, it's only Perry Bell and Linda Ferris there. The overhead is down. Bell Furniture. 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
Overnight, Good Neighbor Talk turns to UFOs, aliens, the unknown. It's coast to coast AM overnight every night on WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Welcome back. Mitchell Mote is with us this morning from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. Didn't I hear something about gardening, some special gardening programs?
Yes, this is kind of the season of the year when we being the Extension Service, put a lot of emphasis on educational opportunities for adults. In just a variety of areas, simply because during the winter there's less opportunity to be outside and so on, and so we try to take advantage of that and schedule some trainings and opportunities when folks may have a better opportunity to participate in them. And so, gosh, we're right in the midst of that right now. The Master Gardener class is in its third, fourth week. It began probably close to a month ago now, I guess, that whole series is. Master Beef Producer Training is ongoing right now for cattle producers. coming up here very soon on February 22nd. There's a they're doing a session. It's in the evening there at Land Agri Park on weed identification and control and lawns and landscapes. That's on February 22nd. February 25th is the first session. That's a Saturday at 9 in the morning. The first session of practical vegetable gardening. That'll be a three-session series, and the first one is on the 25th of February. We'll meet in the community center building there at Land Agri Park, and that will deal with soil preparation, you know, a little bit about soil, first of all, a little education about soil and what's desirable and things we can do to influence and maybe improve soil for vegetable garden, and then preparing that soil and planting the cool season vegetable crops and so on. On March 2nd and 3rd, Friday evening, March 2nd, and Saturday, March 3rd, is our annual Lawn Care 101 class. It'll be taking place then. On a little bit later on this coming spring, there's organic pest control options for lawns and landscapes. Going to offer a couple of sessions of that once in the evening, and also once as one of the brown bag lunch programs that occurs on those third Thursdays. And then a little bit later on past that, and I apologize, I can't remember the dates off the top of my head for those latter ones. There's a for ladies only using outdoor power equipment. Mm-hmm. The good thing, I guess, is that they're all on our website. You can go to the Rutherford County Extension or UT Extension Rutherford County and look under the events. And there's a calendar there, and it lists the different things that are scheduled, and you can click on that particular date for that event. And if there's any particular registration procedure, it'll explain to you what to do there, how to register for it, if there's a fee associated with it. Of those that I mentioned, the only one that has a fee associated is the Lawn Care 101, and that's simply just a $10 fee, but that's to cover, since we are going to be going for a fairly long time, we will have a meal included in there and also a snack, so that's the only reason there's a fee with that one. But yeah, there's a lot going on, and we have folks that are registering for those right now, and in most cases, registration just consists of you sending us an email or a phone call saying, look, I plan to be there, and that's just so that if we do have handouts, we'll try to have enough, you know, mm-hmm. for the folks sure. that are going to be present at that. But yeah, that's a kind of a busy time of the year in that regard, and folks, you know, they're kind of gearing up to go into the lawn and landscape and garden season, and maybe arming themselves with a little knowledge can maybe help avoid some mistakes of the past, or maybe do some improvements to make their particular situation a little bit more rewarding. Maybe improve the appearance or improve the performance, whatever the case may be.
Now, if somebody is putting out a raised bed garden for the first time, maybe they've just moved into a condominium and they have a limited amount of space they have, yeah. maybe they have a real little green space out there.
That might be a container gardening situation.
Yeah. So you can do that successfully.
You can, too. Yeah. You just have to understand what the limitations are. Mm-hmm. I mean, are you going to grow a crop of potatoes in a planter? Well, probably not. Probably not. But you can certainly get lots of salads mm-hmm. from a container like that. You can. You can grow, there are, for instance, you can grow tomatoes in a tomato plant or two mm-hmm. tomato plants in a relatively small space. You know, two or three stalks of okra in a flower bed for, you know, just a couple can provide you with fresh okra for several meals throughout the course of the summer. So, yeah, there are ways to take advantage of those small spaces.
Now, but if you were going to be able to build a planter itself, to look like a planter, a little brick around it and what have you, make mm-hmm. it look nice, that was, say, around 10 feet by 3 feet or 4 feet deep, would that leave you much space to, I mean, you could make it 3 feet tall or something.
Oh, sure. I mean, you could grow, you grow very deep-rooted things in there. Now, but you want to be, you know, think about, could you grow corn in there? Well, I mean, not enough to matter, mm-hmm. you know. But now, could you grow a couple of tomato plants in there? My gosh, yeah, because if you have any halfway decent success with them, then, you know, they produce so prolifically. Same thing is true for, say, you know, squash plant. You know, a squash plant, if it produces, if you do a good job of tending it and keep it pest-free and whatnot, that one squash plant can make a lot of squash, or that one pepper plant can turn out several peppers. Just you know, a small patch of, say, you know, just leaf lettuce can make a lot of lettuce. I mean, it'll grow for an extended period of time. Then when it gets hot, you can replace it with something else, you know, that will tolerate the hot weather better. So, yeah, you can... You know, you can grow a lot of stuff in small spaces, but just want to be realistic about it, too.
And so as you're looking at doing this, look at putting in some soil that is really good soil.
Sure. Make you want to put in the best you can. And if it's native soil, then go ahead and amend that with...
And nothing wrong with native soil, then.
I mean, it's, you know,
it's native soil.
you fly across Rutherford County. There's more green than there is brown,
yeah.
You know, in the places so that aren't
good.
Developed.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it grows stuff. It does.
Yeah.
Now, we've got to learn how to deal with it a lot of times. The gentleman that called earlier talks about the different kinds of clay. You know, Texas, you know, talking about black soil in Texas. Well, there's some black clay down there. I mean, it's kind of a gumbo type soil. I mean, it's tough, and when it gets wet, it's sticky, and you know, you just can't do anything with it. But people learn how to deal with it, you know, and we learn how to deal with it here. We know we can't work it when it's too wet because it just makes clods. We know that we can improve it in those small small areas by adding organic matter, and that's just, you know, good rotten manure is a good thing. Just compost is a good thing. Leaves added over time, you know, dried leaves worked into the soil over time. And well, what I do, and I don't use a raised bed, I use you know, just a traditional garden, my own vegetable garden, but I plant a cover crop on it every fall, a green manure crop. This last fall or late summer, I planted wheat and crimson clover. Legumes add nitrogen to the soil. That's what the crimson clover is. And the wheat is there strictly as a biomass to add, you know, organic matter, because I'm not going to harvest anything off that. I'm going to cut it, and I'm going to till it into the ground. Just let it decompose, and I'm building the organic matter content in that soil. That just improves the workability, the tillability of the ground, you know, and it makes it easier for roots to work down in there. You can do the same thing on these beds over time. When you're not using a bed, if you want to put a little cover crop on it, you certainly could. But the good thing about a bed is it's so easy just to add the amendment itself, you know, be it compost, et cetera. Whatever.
If somebody dropped by the Ag Center on John Rice Boulevard, mm-hmm. Do you have some brochures on how to set up a raised bed garden?
Yeah, if we do, and I mean, if it happened to be out of print or we don't have any on the shelf there, a lot of those things are online off of the UT Extension website. They're downloadable, but yeah. Okay. There's one on, you know, using raised beds, building raised beds. Okay. It's not a real complicated thing. It's like a 2-page fact sheet.
And while you're dropping over there asking questions, also bring some soil samples.
Bring your soil sample by. Is this soil sample, soil testing is picking up.
Yeah.
And from February to, I think it's in April, they probably do 2/3 of the volume of work that they'll do the entire year at the soil lab. So it's going to be picking up here.
Bring it over there and test the soil so you'll be doing the right thing.
Well, no, we don't test it there, but we'll process it and get it to the lab. Mm-hmm. Actually, the lab is in Nashville.
Yeah.
Yep. Sure can. That makes a big difference.
Absolutely. Mitchell, we thank you for joining us today.
All right, Bart. Thank you.
It has been fun. Mitchell Mote visiting with us from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. Tomorrow at this time, we're going to be talking politics. We're going to be talking with each of the candidates who are running for the assessor of property. And that'll be tomorrow. Your chance to call in and talk with them. Ask about their positions and how they stand on these issues. Hey, have a great day. I'll see you tomorrow.